In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we hear only a small section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In this part of his sermon, he addresses two well-known sayings of the time, one that is biblical and one that isn't. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This is the biblical saying, found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. But when rightly understood, this saying means almost the opposite of what people think it means. When rightly understood, this saying does not encourage revenge. Rather, it limits revenge. If someone knocks out your tooth, no, you may not imprison them, torture them, and take their children as your slaves. At most, you can only take one tooth. So rightly understood, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, limits the scope of revenge. But in the minds of men, this saying is twisted into a mantra that encourages revenge. If someone knocks out your tooth, you knock out theirs too. What? It's biblical. And you don't want to look weak. If someone plucks out your eye, you go pluck out theirs. Or since that would be messy, you just sue the living daylights out of them. Someone hands you a cup of coffee and you spill it on yourself, time for a multi-million dollar payday. If your kid doesn't do his homework and gets poor grades, go give that teacher an earful, maybe even get her fired. If your waitress is slow, don't tip, and then get on Yelp and blast that restaurant a new one. If someone messes with you, make sure they never mess with you again. They want to talk behind your back? You talk about them. They want to type trash? You type trash right back. Someone wants to be a tit? You be the tat. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And we have heard it said, and we have said it ourselves. And if there's one commandment we've all surely obeyed, it's this one. The problem is, we have the commandment all wrong. Far from encouraging revenge, an eye for an eye is meant to put a limit on it. If you choose revenge, then that's all the revenge you can take. From the Mount, Jesus teaches, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one that begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Neither an eye for an eye, nor Jesus himself encourage revenge. An eye for an eye limits it, and Jesus, he shows us a different way altogether, a way of mercy instead of revenge. It's important to point out that when Jesus speaks of turning the other cheek to the one who strikes you, he's not talking about assault, he's talking about insult. A slap to the cheek, a lawsuit over your tunic, carrying an enemy soldier's gear for 1 mile. These are all insults, not assaults. So Jesus is not teaching that we ought to allow abusers to keep abusing us, or teaching that we have no recourse to the law, nor is he teaching pacifism, as many wrongly think. What Jesus is teaching us is a way to respond to insult and a way to live one's life differently. Mercy instead of revenge. A way of being strong enough to be weak, to allow oneself to suffer instead of inflicting that suffering back on others. A way that answers greed, not with greed, but a way that answers greed with generosity. A way that answers force, not with force, but a way that answers force with willingness and love. And a way that means opening ourselves up to those who are in need, even when it costs us. A way of selflessness instead of selfishness. What our Lord here teaches is a way to live your life differently. The second saying that Jesus addresses may sound biblical, like it was pulled out of some dusty part of the Old Testament. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's actually not in the Bible at all. Love your friends and hate your enemies. Good teaching, Rabbi Obvious. That's already what everyone does. And at least according to Jesus, that's the problem. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who are your enemies? Well, who do you talk about? You know, what they did, what they said, what they shouldn't have said. Who do you avoid? Telling yourself, you don't hold a grudge, you're over it. But your body is telling you that's not true. What family member hasn't heard from you? We're so sick with sin that we have a tendency to think that we're actually a lot holier than we are, convincing ourselves that we have no real enemies. That's the way out of all of this. No, no, not me, Lord. I don't have any enemies, just some people I disagree with, avoid, talk about, try to ignore, don't talk to, don't invite, cold shoulder, we'll never speak to again, but no, no real enemies, Lord. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. What is Jesus saying? Like Father, like sons. You are sons. And this is how your Father is. He loves his enemies. Yes, even while you were still his enemy, he loved you. He causes his good sun and his good rain to fall on good and evil, just and unjust alike, all because he is that merciful. That's who your Father is, and you are his sons. Jesus' point is that our God and Father is so good, he even gives lavishly to his enemies, like Father, like sons. So Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, pray for them, and greet them, which probably means something more than a forced hi. Greet your enemy. That is, talk with them. Open yourself to them. Might you get hurt? Yeah? Who cares? And if you say that's not for me, then what you're really saying is you don't want to act like who you are. You don't want to act like your Father's child. You'd prefer to act that same old, boring way that everyone else acts, loving their friends and hating their enemies. Love your enemies, Jesus says. And he closes this part of his sermon saying, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In context, perfect means merciful, because that is how your heavenly Father is perfect. He is merciful even to those who hate him. Isn't it true that we fall just a wee bit short of this. In fact, miserably short of being merciful to others, even as our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. Not only do we fall short, which is putting it nicely, sometimes we're downright opposed to being merciful toward our enemies. And then we see just how unlike our Heavenly Father we really are, that we are, in fact, unworthy to be called His sons. And that's true. There is only one who is worthy to be called God's son. There is only one who is perfect as His Father is perfect, merciful as His Father is merciful. There is only one who truly fulfills and lives this Sermon on the Mount, and He's the one preaching it. An eye for an eye? Our Lord Jesus gives His eye for your eye, His tooth for your tooth, His body and soul for your body and soul, and puts Himself on the cross and under God's wrath instead of you. When He was struck by the soldiers, He gave them His other cheek. When He was stripped of His tunic, He gave them His coat as well. And when they forced Him to march, He marched under the load of sins that were not His own, but bore our sins to the lonely cross. For us poor beggars, and that is what we are, for us poor beggars, He gave all that He had. Even His very life He laid down as full payment, that we who are poor would be rich in Him. He loves His enemies, loving even us who so readily choose sin over Him, loving us with a love that neither life nor death nor anything else in all creation can break. He prays for us, even when we pray not. He makes His light shine upon us until we remember the darkness no more. Upon you and me, evil and unjust though we are, He rains down His blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And this very morning, He greets us, not with a half-hearted, "Hi, it's you." No, but with the fullness of joy, He invites us here to His table that we might eat and drink of Him and of His perfect forgiveness. This morning, in our presence, the risen Lord not only gives you His mercy, He teaches you the way of mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.